This is Jay Sekulow. We've got an update on Pastor Saeed's case and Secretary of State Clinton before the United States Senate on Benghazi.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Iran says an American pastor held on charges of evangelizing will be soon freed. The pastor's wife here in the U.S. says that is a big fat lie.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The Arab revolutions have scrambled power dynamics and shattered security forces across the region. Instability in Mali has created an expanding safe haven for terrorists who look to extend their influence and plot further attacks of the kind we saw just last week in Algeria. Concerns about terrorism and instability in North Africa are, of course, not new. They have been a top priority for the entire administration's national security team. But we have been facing a rapidly changing threat environment, and we have had to keep working at ways to increase pressure on Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb and the other terrorist groups in the region.
There was no protest prior to this. I mean, this attack started at 9:40 p.m. Benghazi time, and it was an assault. And I appreciate the fact that you called it an assault. But, I mean, I'm going back to then Ambassador Rice 5 days later going to the Sunday shows and what I would say purposefully misleading the American public. Do you disagree with me that a simple phone call to those evacuees to determine what happened wouldn't have ascertained immediately that there was no protest?
We
were misled that there was supposedly protest and then something sprang out of that, an assault sprang out of that.
With all due respect, the fact is we had 4 dead Americans. Was it because of a protest or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make? It is our job to figure out what happened and do everything we can to prevent it from ever happening again, Senator.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Welcome to the broadcast, everyone. You're seeing or hearing on display the inept attitude of why the State Department messed up the Benghazi investigation and why it happened. And with all due respect to the Secretary of State, who can have the nerve to make a statement that the Arab revolutions have scrambled power dynamics and shattered security forces across the region. My goodness, shattered U.S. security forces across the region? It was the president who encouraged the Arab Spring. And then we're not prepared to address it? So when I heard this again this morning, and just as we played it in our open here, folks, I am outraged at the State Department on this. And I think, frankly, Secretary of State Clinton, with all due respect to her office, her answers were atrocious. And I cannot imagine, as the Secretary of State, that you were not going to be able to just tell the truth. And there is a difference between a mob and a group out for a walk. It's called planning. It's called Al-Qaeda. It's called terrorism acts. And her nonchalant and combative response is, in my mind, not only unacceptable, but wrong, and shows a lack of preparation or a complete fabrication of the events to cover something else. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. And as you can tell, I am not happy about this conversation. Jordan and Thanner in Washington. Jordan, your reaction?
Well, I think my reaction is very similar to yours. Those two scenarios she gave, neither happened. There were not 4 guys who just said,
right,
let's go kill some Americans, and there wasn't a protest. It was a planned Al-Qaeda attack. She didn't say, was it, you know, does it matter if it's Al-Qaeda, does it matter if it's a protest or 4 guys walking down the street. There are not 4 guys walking down the street who randomly put together this very planned and executed attack. They didn't, 4 guys just randomly showed up from different countries to Benghazi. So she screamed and yelled, but the options she gave, does it really matter? It does matter because it was neither of the options you just talked about. I mean, the fact is we knew this was going to be a heated hearing, but the fact that the State Department and the Secretary of State will not just come out and say they screwed up. You know, you realize Washington creates their own scandals.
Yeah.
They don't just come out and say, we messed up. It was a lot happening at all at the same time. Sorry.
Nope, they didn't do that at all. We're taking your phone calls, folks, at 800-684-3110. And we're fighting the State Department for Pastor Saeed, too. And that's why you need to engage with us. We've got to go over the State Department to get him released out of jail. I need your help on this petition right now. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Back with your calls in just a moment.
Where the high heel shoes. An American pastor is on trial in Iran right now because of his Christian faith. Pastor Saeed Abedini, who has been in prison since September, is now facing charges in an Iranian courtroom. The ACLJ is representing Pastor Saeed's family in the U.S. and continues to work to secure his freedom. But the United States has failed to fully engage this case. The State Department, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, President Obama, and his press secretary have failed to call for this American citizen's release. There is still time to make a difference, though, but we need to hear from you right now. Sign on to our petition to free Pastor Saeed and urge the Obama administration to take action to secure the freedom of this American citizen. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
Broadcast, everyone. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Well, Secretary of State Clinton just completed her testimony on Capitol Hill regarding the Benghazi attacks. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. It's either naive or stupidity to make the statement she made. And I'm just going to be blunt. And I'm going to play for you the first one again because this shows you the nature of what we're dealing with. You know, we're having to deal with the State Department for Saeed Abedini. And this is what we're up against when you're dealing with these people under this administration. Now, some of you are saying Jay's being awful hard on Secretary of Clinton, State Clinton. She was just sick. I understand all of that. But you're the Secretary of State of the United States of America. You don't get to go on Capitol Hill and make ridiculously stupid statements. Let me play for you number two. This one is, folks, absurd.
The Arab revolutions have scrambled power dynamics and shattered security forces across the region.
Really? Really? Because you and your administration set up the Arab Spring and thought it was going to be this great run of democracy, and it has shattered security forces? You mean it has shattered the United States security forces? It's the same shattering of forces that are allowing the United States of America to send F-16s to Egypt under the control of the Islamic-led Muslim Brotherhood, whose president called Jews pigs. And we're sending them F-16s and 200 tanks. I wonder what they're going to do with those tanks and those F-16s. But, you know, Secretary of State Clinton's a little confused on her facts because she's still thinking we're dealing with, I guess, a video when she goes through this whole issue of what was told. Remember the initial statement on Benghazi? Oh, it was this reaction to this horrible, horrendous video. Some nonsense on YouTube. Listen to number 11. This is Senator Johnson in dialogue with Secretary of State Clinton.
We were misled that there were supposedly protests and then something sprang out of that, an assault sprang out of that. And that was easily ascertained that was not the fact.
But
and the American people could have known that within days, and they didn't know that.
With all due respect, the fact is we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a
stop
protest?
Stop right there. I'm going to pick it up in a minute. We had four dead Americans. Right. And now I want you to listen to, folks, what she goes on to say. These are four dead Americans that were calling for U.S. security help. Here's the rest of her statement.
Or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans?
Okay, I'm going to stop it right there. This is the Secretary of State in the United States. This wasn't four guys out for a walk. This was a planned Al-Qaeda attack on 9/11. This is not four guys out for a walk. And Jordan and Than, she should not be able to get away with this, nor should the State Department, nor should the Obama administration. This is ridiculous and repulsive.
It's the same thing we saw from the very beginning, Jay. They're just continuing it. She's leaving with the same message she started with. People need to remember, think about how long they stuck to this story about the video caused this attack. We are talking weeks and weeks, even months. It was 6 days later when Ambassador Rice went on the cable shows and blamed it on this video, and yet we didn't hear discussion of that today from the secretary. And, Jay, here was the biggest thing that bothered me about the testimony today. She essentially said that security was adequate at the embassy and that you just have to accept the risks that exist in places like Libya. Jay, the warnings were repeated. They were numerous. The State Department received a cable from the ambassador on the day he died. They knew the risk, and they didn't mitigate them, and the secretary didn't want to own up to that today.
Four guys walking down the street didn't have RPGs, okay? Four guys walking down the street and say, oh, we just saw this video on YouTube making fun of Islam, and therefore we're going to kill an ambassador of the United States in Benghazi. That wasn't four guys. And the fact that she even said that should tell you what we're having to deal with at the State Department when it comes to the release of an American citizen being held. And, Jordan, that's part of the real fight we're having right now on Capitol Hill, is dealing with our own State Department to get Saeed Abedini released.
Yes. I mean, the State Department is still dragging their feet. This is after the National Security Council had no problem. So no laws stop them from doing anything. No congressional action stopped them from doing anything. They came right out and said, you know, we call for his release. National Security Council, that's the CIA, the president's part of that, the vice president, the Secretary of Defense. The entire intelligence world is on this council, which was created by an act of Congress because the State Department handled the Cold War so poorly. 1947 is when the National Security Council was created by Congress to be with inside the White House. So they issue this statement. It's public. It's out there. It's not the clearest statement. It's not the easiest one to find on their website, but the news has picked it up all over the world. And yet the State Department still acts like it's so difficult for them to call for Pastor Saeed's release. Calling for his release is not sharing his private information when the White House, National Security Council, CIA directors, they've all issued that statement. I mean, the State Department acts like they are above and beyond everyone else in Washington, D.C. And the truth is, if you ever have to rely on them, don't. I mean, and we don't. I mean, that's why we do our own work for these people like Pastor Saeed, because if he was just relying on his own country's foreign ministry is basically what it is, which many people around the world can, at least that they'll do something and try, which is all Congress has asked them to do. Here, dragging their feet, nasty, about, again, an American citizen who's in jail in Iran, who has been in trial, charged only with religious crimes. They can read the Iranian media, government controlled about that, and they will not call for his release. I hope that statement comes, but it kind of all goes together, Dad, when you yep. see this kind of Capitol Hill defiance. They won't admit when they are wrong. They won't admit when they're not telling the truth, and they will do anything and everything possible to delay. This hearing should have been a week before the election, not 2 days after the inauguration.
Well, you know, we had this whole thing in Algiers that took place, and now we've got reports coming out in the New York Times that some Algier attackers were placed at Benghazi. So, folks, this is the State Department we're dealing with. So here's what I want you to do. I want to send a really loud message to the State Department that we are not satisfied to the responses on Benghazi. We are not satisfied with the lack of response from the State Department on Pastor Saeed Abedini, and we see a correlation. Leaving our own behind. Leaving American citizens behind and not coming to their aid and defense in the appropriate way. If you want to add your voice now to 211,000 people that said enough is enough, we want this man released and we want the State Department to react. And if you're sick of the way the State Department has handled this Benghazi matter, then you go to ACLJ.org and sign that petition, or you call right now at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. But folks, this is the State Department we're dealing with. These are the statements coming out of the United States State Department. And this is why we have to react. They are leaving our own, whether it's an ambassador, whether it's a pastor. As if that's not, you know, four guys just picked up. What are they going to say? Four guys just picked up Pastor Saeed Abedini, and they were just walking down the street. What difference does it make? It's a huge difference. When you got an American citizen in jail in the toughest prison in Iran, in the toughest revolutionary court, and a State Department that is still denying what happened in Benghazi at the same time. So send a loud and clear message, ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. I believe we can cross 300,000 signatures on this if we all get together and work. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. And Secretary of State designee, the nominee, Senator Kerry, is up on Thursday. And, Than, what's the latest on getting questions to him about this?
We're going to get questions to him. He's coming before the same hearing tomorrow. Interestingly enough, Jay, Secretary Clinton is actually going to introduce Senator Kerry, so I don't know if they're going to have a conversation about this before that, but Senator Rubio and Senator Risch both have this in their list of questions to ask the incoming Secretary of State. I sure hope they can do it during open session so we can get a verbal response from him because, Jay, he's got to be a lot stronger than the current Secretary of State.
Jordan, what's going on there? I mean, what is really going on with the State Department here?
Bureaucracy. Unfortunately, the Secretary of State hasn't cut through the bureaucrats there. They try to, you know, they are known for inaction. I mean, people don't say that about Washington. These thousands of people in the building, some who do great work, some who are literally there to get the paycheck and not create any new work. And so there are not that many Americans being held in Iran. There are not that many Americans being held in countries where, you know, they can't get a signature for their power of attorneys. We got that. But, you know, more than that, because they can't meet with the Swiss ambassador. You know, the Swiss ambassador is not being allowed to go to the Iranian prison, Evin prison, where Pastor Saeed is. So there's only a couple places like that. But we'll send former presidents over to North Korea. And the hikers, oh, of course. But see, they get treated differently because they're not there for religious reasons. You know, right. They can intentionally break the law of North Korea, which they knew they were doing. And we'll put out the red carpet to help. And that's great. I'm glad we did. But Pastor Saeed didn't intentionally break any laws. In fact, they're creating new laws that he's broken. I mean, in the trial, secret trials, it's the bureaucrats. Now, fortunately, usually the political appointees can say, cut it out. Or we don't care. We're moving forward. That's what happened at the National Security Council. There's no bureaucrats there. Those are all people that answer directly to the president. So could Secretary Clinton and her office tell the Iranian section of U.S. citizens abroad to knock it off? Absolutely, but they haven't.
All right, folks, here's what I want you to do. 211,872 of you have signed this petition. If you're sick of the responses on Benghazi and you want this pastor released and see the same problem, go to ACLJ.org or call us at 877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Back with more in a moment.
The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org. An American pastor is on trial in Iran right now because of his Christian faith. Pastor Saeed Abedini, who has been in prison since September, is now facing charges in an Iranian courtroom. The ACLJ is representing Pastor Saeed's family in the U.S. and continues to work to secure his freedom. But the United States has failed to fully engage this case. The State Department, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, President Obama, and his press secretary have failed to call for this American citizen's release. There is still time to make a difference, though, but we need to hear from you right now. Sign on to our petition to free Pastor Saeed and urge the Obama administration to take action to secure the freedom of this American citizen. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Obviously, not happy with what's going on in Capitol Hill today. Not happy about Saeed. Situation. Let's go take a phone call here, folks. A lot of you have been holding. Remember, we're here for another 30 minutes. Those of you getting us on SiriusXM, you're getting the full hour. If not, go to ACLJ.org. It's streamed there. Jordan, let's grab a phone call.
Danny in Maine on line two. Danny, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Danny.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, you're on the air.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. Sure. The reason I'm calling is because, you know, basically what happens here with these agencies and with everybody that's in leadership in these positions is that no one's held accountable for their actions or inaction. And Hillary Clinton, she's running the State Department. The State Department comes out with their own evaluation of themselves, saying that they have a systemic problem within their own agency. But nobody wants to address that. And they haven't been addressing that for decades. So who do we hold accountable at this point? Not just Hillary Clinton, who should be fired and she's leaving anyway, but we should hold the administration and also all the different committees that are involved in oversight.
Well, the oversight committees, remember, and the Senate are controlled by Democrats. So they're going to be – I appreciate your comments. I think you're right, by the way. I agree with everything you said. But the Senate committees are controlled by Democrats. And, Than, what's the mood on Capitol Hill immediately after this testimony?
Well, I think it's really frustrating. It's going to be interesting to see, Jay, because the secretary actually heads over to the House this afternoon, so they are going to have the benefit of receiving this testimony, seeing the testimony from this morning, and then, you know, questioning her this afternoon. But to the caller's point, Jay, I think Senator Rand Paul said this. He said, listen, you can say this wasn't willful incompetence, but it was still incompetence. If I had been the president of the United States, I would have fired you for that incompetence. So very strong words from Rand Paul, and I think when she heads over to the House, which, of course, is run by Republicans, I think the question is going to be much more along those lines this afternoon.
Let me tell you, listen to what Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky had to say about that very thing.
I think that ultimately with your leaving, you accept the culpability for the worst tragedy since 9/11. And I really mean that. Had I been president at the time and I found that you did not read the cables from Benghazi, you did not read the cables from Ambassador Stevens, I would have relieved you of your post. I think it's inexcusable.
There you go. Senator Rand Paul has got it exactly correct. Inexcusable. And that's the same reason why we have to fight the State Department for Saeed Abedini's release so that they would make the appropriate statement. We got governments all over the world making the right statement, except our own. You go to ACLJ.org, sign on that petition. By the way, and I need to say a huge thank you, since we've been on the air, literally thousands of you have gone to this website. We're at 212,000 signatures. Many have called into the phone, so go to ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Back to the phones we go. Who do we have next?
Yep, let's go to Bruce, calling from California on line three. Bruce, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Bruce.
Hello.
Yes, sir, you're on the air.
All right, thank you. I appreciate all the work that you do.
Thanks.
I also, I'm kind of appalled that during the inauguration, they sent four jets for the shipments.
Yeah, to the Muslim Brotherhood-led government in Egypt. Four F-16s.
Planes have not left, and so the rest of the tanks have not left?
No, the other tanks have not left, and the other jets have not been delivered. But there's also, remember this, in addition to all this, there's a call for $1.5 billion of money going to Egypt as well, and we have really raised our voice on that. Hundreds of thousands of you have contacted us, and Than, so far, no money released as of right now.
Yeah, we're winning on that one. Bruce is right, though. Isn't the timing ironic while the president is getting inaugurated, these first four jets get sent? But, yes, you're also right, Jay. We've got to focus on what we can control now, and that is future funding. Congress can still stop that. We're winning on it. We're talking about $1.5 billion. This is what the president would spend it on, F-16s and tanks. Congress should not send him the money.
Well, let me play for you again. I'm playing for you number two. In light of this statement and the four jets going and more on the way possibly, listen to what Secretary of State Clinton said about what's going on in the globe right now. And then ask yourself, why are we sending the Muslim Brotherhood anything?
The Arab revolutions have scrambled power dynamics and shattered security forces across the region. Instability in Mali has created an expanding safe haven for terrorists who look to extend their influence and plot further attacks of the kind we saw just last week in Algeria.
But don't worry. We're sending F-16s and 200 tanks to the Muslim Brotherhood. I mean, think about this. We're sending F-16s and 200 tanks while our Secretary of State makes this grandiose statement about the Arab revolutions have scrambled power dynamics and shattered security forces across the region. First of all, stop calling it the Arab Revolution. Let's call it what it is. It's a Muslim revolution. You can't blame the entire Arab world for this because many in the Arab world legitimately protested regimes, but they have their voices have been shut out. This is a jihadist revolution. And it's shattered security forces across the region? Yeah. So we're giving jets, I mean, I can't even believe I'm saying this, to the Muslim Brotherhood. I mean, think about this. We're giving F-16s and tanks to the Muslim Brotherhood. They're going to bring security and stability to the region? They're going to use them on their own people and probably Israel. All right, we're going back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Who's next?
Kelly calling in from Idaho, online to Kelly. Welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
Yes.
My name is Kelly, and I'm actually calling from Boise, Idaho.
Right, the home of Pastor Saeed and his family.
Exactly, and we're actually friends of Pastor Saeed, and my daughter goes to school.
Okay.
Children, and I just want to say to everybody that this is a real man. You know, this is a really good man. And he's not only an amazing father, he's an amazing husband, amazing, you know, person just to everybody. I mean, he helps everyone. And just, you know, I just, it would behoove everyone if they would just sign this petition. And not only that, I mean, just honestly, you know, to all the senators out there, anybody listening, if you could just please do your part to help Pastor Saeed. He, unfortunately, you know, is being held captive right now by the Iranian government. And, you know, I just looking, you know, even past religion, looking at like positive and negative, like this man was trying to do something positive. He was trying to help children, you know, that were stuck in sexual trafficking. I mean, he's done so many good things, and it's just such a sad thing that
Kelly, how are the people, and I know her church is very supportive, but and you're friends with the pastor and his family. How do you sense things are in your local community on behalf of this pastor?
Pardon? Sorry.
How do you feel that the community is rallying to this pastor's support? We've had good congressional support from the folks in Idaho. How's the community dealing with the situation that one of their own is in jail in Iran?
Definitely, we've gone to all the news channels,
right.
And, you know, we're trying to, you know, like talk to the local senators and the capital governor, and I mean, we're trying to do everything we can. Like, for example, like everybody, you know, is on their friends list on
Facebook. Yep.
We try to add, share the whole, you know, save Pastor Saeed.
Right.
And so then they can sign the petition. And just, you know, we're trying to really get the word out to everybody.
Well, listen, I appreciate you calling in, Kelly. I appreciate your concern for your neighbor and your family's friend, Pastor Saeed. But, folks, this is where you saw what we're dealing with the State Department. I need your help. Go to ACLJ.org and sign that petition now. You just heard from Kelly, a friend of the family. Or call us at 1-877-989-2255. We're not going to let them come up with excuses when we've got Pastor Saeed sitting in a jail. We're not taking excuses from the State Department. They're in action here. ACLJ.org. Or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255 with more when we come back.
There is still time to make a difference, but we need to hear from you right now. Sign on to our petition to free Pastor Saeed and urge the Obama administration to take action to secure the freedom of this American citizen. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are going to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Plenty to talk about with Benghazi and, you know, Secretary Clinton after screaming at Senator Johnson and, you know, ridiculous statements, honestly. I mean, the fact is, screaming back, she talked about things that didn't exist. I'll play it for you because, again, we played it early in the first 30 minutes of the broadcast, but it kind of sets the stage. When screaming back at someone and saying that they're wrong and saying, does it really matter, A or B? If A or B didn't happen in this situation and C did, and you don't mention C, your argument's kind of weak, and you probably shouldn't be raising your voice and screaming. And people talk about her as, you know, potential presidential candidate. I mean, this is how she reacts to a question that is pretty straightforward. At first she said, you know, I had nothing to do with the talking points, so why not come out and just say it was a mistake, obviously. But no, you know, this is going to be her final act as a Secretary of State before Congress is screaming at them, even though we all know that they're right. I mean, that's why Susan Rice isn't going to be announced later today as the next Secretary of State tomorrow. Secretary Clinton isn't announcing her. It's John Kerry. Why? Because of this cover-up. Because of this Benghazi disaster. But take a listen. This is a U.S. Senator, Senator Johnson, asking Secretary Clinton again about why it took so long to be honest about the situation. Why did the media have to be the ones who figured this out? Why wouldn't the government admit that they were wrong in their initial assessment? Take a listen. It's really unbelievable to me when you think about this by 11.
We were misled that there were supposedly protests and then something sprang out of that, an assault sprang out of that. And that was easily ascertained that was not the fact.
But
and the American people could have known that within days, and they didn't know that.
With all due respect, the fact is we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make? It is our job to figure out what happened and do everything we can to prevent it from ever happening again.
But they didn't do everything they could. You know, like Saeed's situation, they had an ambassador who's now dead, killed in the streets, beaten to death in the streets, three others, Americans. Four guys with guns didn't kill two Navy SEALs. Okay, the Navy SEALs weren't able to not fight back. The annex, as they call it, the CIA annex, which had a team, an armed team there, was that because of four guys in Libya who decided they're going to kill some Americans tonight? Okay, this wasn't a random act. It wasn't a security guard who turned against us and took us off guard. Yes, problems happen in these parts of the world. You are taking a risk by going there. You're taking a risk by being part of the U.S. government there, of course. But they were told the information. Now, part two of my criticism, pretty easy. It wasn't four guys with guns, and it wasn't a protest. So notice she says, what difference does it make, four guys with guns or a protest? But it was neither of those. It was a planned attack. It was a planned attack that they were warned about. And the truth is, do they get warned about a lot of things? Sure. Can they fix every problem before it happens? No. But do they have to lie to the American people? No. This doesn't need to be a scandal. Terrorism happens. They want to act like it doesn't. This administration has tried to act like the war on terror is over. Meanwhile, because of what happened in Libya, all those weapons in the rest of North Africa, and the reason why the French are fighting Islamic radicals, is because they're taking weapons from these leaders who fell. They supported all of that, but they didn't do enough on the back end. The same thing in Egypt. They support these revolutions. They do nothing on the back end. And you could say, well, the U.S. shouldn't meddle. Well, then, you know, don't give them $1 billion if you don't think you have any influence over them. I mean, you ask anybody, if you give somebody $1 billion and then forgive their loans and forgive their debt and give them jets and give them weapons, you get influence. I mean, that's part of it. If they don't want the influence, don't take it. That's fine. They don't have to, but they do. So, again, folks, we'll take more of your phone calls when we get back from the break, 1-800-684-3110. But it just kind of tells you, when we have these situations like Pastor Saeed in Iran and we have to deal with the State Department working with them, sometimes it's easy and great, sometimes it's not. You could probably see why today when you see how the Secretary of State responds to U.S. senators. Call now and stand with Pastor Saeed, folks, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255, or go to ACLJ.org. No, you're not alone.
An American pastor is on trial in Iran right now because of his Christian faith. Pastor Saeed Abedini, who has been in prison since September, is now facing charges in an Iranian courtroom. The ACLJ is representing Pastor Saeed's family in the U.S. and continues to work to secure his freedom. But the United States has failed to fully engage this case. The State Department, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, President Obama, and his press secretary have failed to call for this American citizen's release. There is still time to make a difference, though, but we need to hear from you right now. Sign on to our petition to free Pastor Saeed and urge the Obama administration to take action to secure the freedom of this American citizen. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. I'm going to go right to the phone calls, 1-800-684-31. Tilly reminds you, if you didn't know yesterday, Pastor Saeed, there was a second day of trial, that his attorney was not able to attend, or Pastor Saeed. They started summoning people from the churches there, got summons to appear in this very scary court, Branch 26 of the Revolutionary Court, to testify basically against Saeed. Is he the reason why he became a Christian? 7-8 years ago. Where does he get the money for this orphanage? Which, by the way, all inside Iran. But I don't even know if those people knew the answers to that. You know, you don't know. And it doesn't matter what they actually said because no one was there to record it except for the Revolutionary Guard. Part two, breaking news of today, the family again tried to use the bail offer. The judge's assistant threatened an individual working with the family on the bail documents, Pastor Saeed's family, and said, your house will be raided and you will lose your job if you continue to assist this family. This is the clerk of the court. The clerk of the court, the right-hand man of Judge Pir Abbasi, Pastor Saeed's the hanging judge in this case, who said to the press, let's tell the press he's going to get bail and get to go home. His right-hand man threatened an individual working with the family for free, by the way, just helping them put together documents, said, we're going to raid your home and you're going to lose your job. So that's the truth about Iran. That's the truth about the situation. But, again, the State Department, not very different than what happened today with these hearings so far. They dragged their feet. They dragged their feet until the worst possible, you know, scenarios happen. You know, we're telling you this is getting bad. We're telling you this is not good. We're telling you this is dangerous. Drag your feet, drag your feet. That's what happened in Libya. You can apply that situation. It's the whole mindset of the State Department. That's why the National Security Council came out with their own statement, because they were created because how slow the State Department is and the politics within, because of the Cold War and sympathizers within. I mean, that's how far back it goes, so it's not something new, but usually the political appointees have the will and can easily break through that bureaucracy. That's why they're there. They haven't done that in this case. But I wanted to give you the latest info about the bail again. Family keeps trying, as the judge said. The judge's assistant threatening everybody helping put that together. So there's the news on that. Let's go back to the phones. Winfred called in from New Jersey on line one. Winfred, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. Sure. I've been wondering where the president was at that time, if he was out to lunch, so to speak, when all this was happening in Benghazi. And what powers does the president have as commander-in-chief? Does he, in fact, have power to deploy any kind of military, naval or whatever.
There already was, and there were, you know, armed forces from the United States there. So that annex they talk about being under attack, that was CIA. They were armed. I mean, with assault rifles, with, you know, machine guns. They were figuring out at this point, are there so many of them that we can't engage? I mean, they were shooting RPGs. These are not four angry Muslims in Libya who are Islamist and don't like America, the guys that stomp on the American flag on TV during protests when the cameras show up, who said, okay, tonight we're going to go storm the U.S. Consulate, kill the ambassador and three other Americans. No. Because two of those guys were former Navy SEALs. I mean, four guys versus two Navy SEALs, it probably wouldn't happen so easily. But they were outnumbered, outgunned. I mean, these guys had real firepower, not knives. It wasn't a suicide attack, not a suicide bomber. And so there were already security forces there. We had drones in the sky. And, yes, the president has authority as commander-in-chief, like you said, Winfred, to defend and protect, especially when we've got people deployed. So we have Marines, for instance, are always at the embassy. We have, some of our embassies are heavily, heavily fortified. Can that protect against everything? No. But in this situation, serious questions. Could they have admitted that this was a dangerous assignment and the threat just wasn't taken serious enough? Yes. The world is in transition in those parts of the world. You can go so far, but if you don't tell the truth for, you know, a month later, 2 months later, it looks not just that you're not telling the truth, you don't admit that you're wrong, but you're covering something else up. And we know what they were covering up. They were covering up emails then saying, this is bad. We need more security. This is not safe. We're going to be in trouble. That's what they were trying to cover up. And for the most part, they were successful until the election.
They were, and there are really two things on this point, Jordan. First of all, number one, this attack lasted all night. So the resources that you're talking about that the commander-in-chief had at his disposal had time to get there. They just made a decision not to send them after those emails came in during the attack that you're talking about. But even more troubling to me than that, Jordan, is the fact of what happened before. Let's remind people what exactly this embassy was. This was an embassy that had twice been bombed in the year leading up to this attack. This was an embassy that had repeatedly requested more security from the State Department. This was an embassy that Ambassador Chris Stevens had sent cables to the State Department requesting more security. Jordan, one of those came in the day he was killed, asking for some more security. So the biggest thing that the State Department could have done, the biggest thing that the Commander-in-Chief could have done would have been to honor those requests, would have been to properly secure this embassy before the attack ever even happened. Remember, after the British embassy was bombed in Benghazi, they evacuated. The Red Cross, who never evacuates these places, they evacuated, yet we remained and we denied them the security they were requesting.
Victor calling in from Colorado on line 3. Victor, welcome to JSECIO Live.
Yeah, I've got an observation and then a two-part question. One of the reasons I think that America has always been called such a blessed nation is because it parallels the Bible a lot. In the Bible, it says that anyone can accept Christ, and the minute you do, you're immediately privileged to all the benefits of your salvation. In America, anybody from anywhere can become a citizen, and you're immediately privileged to all the benefits of that citizenship. Now, my first part of my question is what has our government become when we had to give them a petition and basically beg them to go and protect one of our own? My second part of my question is, what have we as the American people become where we keep voting these people into office? Now,
you know, I'd say part one, unfortunately, there's been a history of this in the State Department, even based on, you know, different elections. There's not been yet a president or secretary of state who has said enough and cut through this. Garbage is a lot of what it is. So instead, the government has created other branches. I mean, that's what you saw is the National Security Council, the CIA, and all these people saying, no, this is not a security risk. We're not worried about any laws that apply to us with issuing a statement saying release this American from jail. They didn't take any time on that. But it's the State Department who should be out front, especially diplomatically, internationally, in the media. They are the ones who are supposed to take the lead. And, Victor, I think you're right. How do you feel about relying on your State Department if you're an ambassador or your Pastor Saeed? They're ignoring you, and they ignored your concerns when you were under house arrest before you were in jail. They ignored your concerns before your trial started. Now the trial started. They're still ignoring it after secret trial, which is widely reported in the news. Not just us, not just in one other location. I mean, all over the world, from Arab world press, Saudi government media, owned by them, talking about the story. But our State Department won't call for his release. They'll say they're concerned. They say it once. It didn't come from the Secretary of State. We have not, you know, I don't think the White House, the president, needs to be the one out front all the time on these issues. It should be the Secretary of State. It should be our top diplomats. If he makes that decision, if the White House makes that decision at a later point, I think that's something that's different. I understand the dynamics there. They could do a lot more. In fact, they could tell the Secretary of State to do this. You will not imagine what it is like. I mean, it's really shocking. It was easier for Pastor Youssef Nader Khani, who is not an American, has never been to America, and may never be in America, to get support from the U.S. government than it is an American citizen. Now, I'm glad they helped Pastor Nader Khani, but it is frightening to know that they will drag their feet for one of our own. Okay? I mean, now, you could talk about the body of Christ. You could talk about Christians around the world. Sure. But we are American citizens, and they drag their feet. And it's a sad moment, because there's only a few places this would ever happen in the world left. You know, this is, and again, usually they come right out for people, but they will drag their feet on this, and it's just kind of troubling. It's troubling because, again, I'll say they will go to bat for people from other countries. They will illegally smuggle out a Chinese dissident from China, who is not an American, break all of their laws and rules. Okay, he escaped from arrest, got into our embassy, and was flown out. That's not a diplomatic crisis, which, by the way, was a diplomatic crisis with a superpower. But Iran, whose missiles don't work for the most part, who is a threat, but come on. I mean, we've crippled their whole economy. We'll sanction them where they can't feed their kids, but we won't call for the release of a pastor who's an American citizen? Think about that for a moment. We'll smuggle out Chinese dissidents, but not help one of our own. Call now if you want to stand with Pastor Saeed, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. And by the way, I think we should be doing all of those things, not just one of them. If you're going to help the Chinese dissident, help the American citizen too. 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at ACLJ.org. An American pastor is on trial in Iran right now because of his Christian faith. Pastor Saeed Abedini, who has been in prison since September, is now facing charges in an Iranian courtroom. The ACLJ is representing Pastor Saeed's family in the U.S. and continues to work to secure his freedom. But the United States has failed to fully engage this case. The State Department, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, President Obama, and his press secretary have failed to call for this American citizen's release. There is still time to make a difference, though, but we need to hear from you right now. Sign on to our petition to free Pastor Saeed and urge the Obama administration to take action to secure the freedom of this American citizen. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org.
Hey, folks, welcome back. back to Jay Sekulow Live. As you know, we've been talking and engaging on behalf of Pastor Saeed this week. I want to play for you in this segment of the broadcast a segment here, a teaser from our DVD, The Export. It's going to give you a larger perspective on the situation in the region and why the situation with Pastor Saeed is so dire and why we really need to stand with him today. Again, the number to add your name to the petition for Pastor Saeed is 877-989-2255. But take a listen to this. This is a teaser for our DVD, The Export.
Ambassador, I want to first ask you about the Goldstone Report. You made a very interesting, I think, important comment about the criticism aimed at Israel for disproportionate response. And your statement that in warfare, whether it's the legal system being utilized or actual military engagement, that disproportionate response is part of what has to happen.
It is basic American doctrine that we have at least the option to use overwhelming force against our adversaries. We have that military doctrine because we want to protect American lives. We want to protect innocent civilian lives. And the best way to defeat the enemy is to do it quickly and overwhelmingly. It is essential to self-defense, to be able not simply to respond to a particular attack, but to eliminate the threat to your national security to begin with. And that's the real question of what proportionality involves or what is legitimate. And until that's better understood in the international system, we're going to see additional threats to the ability of the United States and its friends and allies to defend themselves in the war against terrorism.
Let's take it right to Iran. First of all, you obviously you know better than anybody because of your work here as ambassador at the UN and just generally in your knowledge of this area. How significant is Iran as a threat right now?
Well, right now, Iran is the world's central banker to international terrorism. It funds Hamas, Hezbollah, terrorists in Afghanistan and Iraq and around the world. If you add to existing Iranian activities the capability to deliver nuclear weapons anywhere in the world, you make Iran a world power and a world threat. That's why it is legitimate for the United States, Israel, or others to take action now in self-defense to prevent Iran from continuing to violate its own treaty obligations and obtain nuclear weapons. It's not a desirable alternative, to be sure, but the preemptive use of military force in this case is actually far preferable to the world as it would be once Iran gets nuclear weapons.
I was going to follow up with that, because do you have any confidence whatsoever in the UN's capability or institutional willingness to take the kind of sanctions necessary to get Iran to stop?
There may well be a fourth sanctions resolution coming, but it will be just as toothless as the first three, and it will not do anything material to dissuade Iran from continuing its 20-year-long project to obtain nuclear weapons. The most likely outcome today, absent the use of military force by someone, is that Iran will have nuclear weapons and very soon.
If Iran does end up with nuclear weapons, what's the end result?
I don't think Iran is subject to classical theories of deterrence. I think it worked through luck during the Cold War. It's not a system we should want to live under. And Iran has a very different calculus about the benefits of human life than even the Soviet Union did. But even if I were wrong about our capability to deter Iran, it doesn't stop there. If Iran gets nuclear weapons, Saudi Arabia will, Egypt will, Turkey, perhaps others. So in 5 to 10 years, you could have a multipolar nuclear Middle East with half a dozen countries with nuclear weapons. That is a formula for insecurity.
Insecurity, but also the ending of democracies like Israel as we know it?
Right. I think in a multipolar nuclear Middle East, you'd have many countries looking at the one next door saying, I wonder if I should strike first before he strikes me. And I would think at that point, the use of nuclear weapons becomes almost inevitable.
Last question, and that is, can the world afford to wait?
I don't believe so, and I've felt this way for some time. I think it is a mistake to overestimate how much time we have in Iran. I don't believe in just-in-time non-proliferation, because if you miscalculate and Iran gets nuclear weapons, the entire balance of power has changed. We're in a very critical year this year.
General Ashcroft, let's go back to September 11th, 2001, and put this in a historical context. The president, the first lady, were on a reading initiative for students. In fact, we always remember that shot of the president being whispered to by Andy Card while he was in the reading program in Florida. What was your day like that day?
I was destined for Milwaukee, Wisconsin, again dispatched by the president, as other cabinet members were. to be reading with students that day. However, before I got to Milwaukee, the word got to me when I was over Central Michigan. I remember on the one side of the plane, Kalamazoo, and on the other side of the plane, Grand Rapids.
What'd they tell you?
Literally, the voice barked out of the cockpit saying, "General Ashcroft, call the command center." Now, that could mean any number of things. It certainly didn't register with me at the time that I was going to be informed of this massive assault on America and her institutions. But I picked up the phone. The command center began to relate to me the details which were unfolding at the time.
What did they first tell you?
Well, they told me that there had been these planes that crashed into the Twin Towers. They told me that it appeared that this was not accidental, that there was a lot of uncertainty, and that there were other things that were still unfolding. I turned to the individuals in the plane with me, and I said, "The world will never be the same."
Yeah, you've said that before. We've talked about that before. The event had just started unfolding. The two planes had hit the towers in New York. Yet you already knew that the world, to the people you were traveling with, your staff, that the world was never going to be safe. What do you mean by that?
Well, we may have overestimated the number of casualties. I don't know whether your mind will carry you back to September the 11th, but we were thinking 10 to 15,000 people dead, potentially. And there are a number of miraculous stories that surround 9/11, where people were late for work or their conference, which was to have been convened in the neighborhood, was delayed or put into another setting. So we had anticipated on the initial reports that there were, that this, not to say that nearly 3,000 who died on 9/11 and the other injuries are not consequential, but we had anticipated the potential damage far greater. And an assault of that magnitude on the soil of America was totally unheard of. And I must say that it's one that we had not anticipated. We had been told that there was a lot of activity in the terrorist community, but we had been assured that it was the kind of activity that had previously characterized terrorism from the radical elements in the Middle East, and that those were sort of like the embassy bombings and things like that.
Not civilian targets.
Hadn't touched America, and many of them were sort of especially governmental targets. They were not on our side of the ocean, they were on the other side of the ocean, and I don't mean to say that we would ever take those things lightly, but we hadn't an understanding of how much at risk our own culture was, especially some of the big symbols. And this is in spite of the fact, and we have to understand, this is a deficit in our understanding, because there had been almost 10 years earlier the effort and the first bombing. It was so bungled and so unsuccessful that I think it caused us to engage in a fatal error. It's always not fatal, but it's a very serious area. It's always a very serious error when you underestimate your opponents.
Again, that was a clip from our DVD, The Export. You can find the whole thing online at aclj.org. But we need you to stand with us today. aclj.org or 877-989-2255 to demand that the State Department, to demand that the U.S. government do all that they can for Pastor Syed. His life is truly in the balance. Again, aclj.org or 877-989-2255.
There is still time to make a difference, but we need to hear from you right now. Sign on to our petition to free Pastor Syed and urge the Obama administration to take action to secure the freedom of this American citizen. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org.